Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shirim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom, and we are now beginning our study of the second chapter of Masachet Kitin on Daf Ted Vav Amud Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, picking up on the theme of the decree of Befanin Nichtav, Befanin Nechtam, Hamevi Get B'Medinat Hayam. So if somebody brings a get, remember they have to say Befanin Nichtav, Befanin Nechtam. V'yamar Befanin Nichtav, Aval Lo Befanin Nechtam. He says, I was witness to the writing of the get, but not to the signatures. He says, the other half, I saw the signatures, but not the writing of the get. Or, I saw the entire thing being written, but not the entire thing being signed, which means I only saw one of the two signatures. I saw part of it being written, but I saw all the signatures. Pasul. Now, we're going to carry an assumption here, which is that since this entire Mishnah seems to be superfluous, because in the first Mishnah of the Masechet, we already declared the obligation for someone to say Fananichtav, Fananechtam, we're going to search for a nuance in each piece which tells us something new. That's the assumption we're going to work with. Now, Echad Omer Fananichtav, Echad Omer Fananechtam, Pasul. If you have two different guys coming, one says Fananichtav, the other guy says Fananechtam, it's still Pasul. Shnayim Omer Fananichtav. If two people come and say, we saw it being written, and one of them says, or one other guy says, I saw it signed, pasul. For Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, Rabbi Yehuda permits that. Now, but if one person comes and says, I saw it written, and two say, we saw it signed, then it is indeed kasher. Okay, and now we will see how the Gemara analyzes this. The first question the Gemara asks is, Hatu Lamali, why do I need this Mishnah at all? Hatane Lechad Azimno, we have the Mishnah at the beginning of the Masachet. The establishment of the basic ordinance. So the answer is, Imeahi Havi Aminat Sarich Vilo Amar Kasher. From that Mishnah alone, all I would know is that there is such a requirement to make the statement, but if you didn't make the statement, it's still kasher. And after all, I have some proof to that from the fourth Mishnah, which is that if somebody brings a get, in the third Mishnah, if somebody brings a get within Eretz Yisrael, then you don't have to say it, and if there's a challenge, it kayem chotamav. So perhaps I would say that when you bring it from Chutzlar, it's lachatchila, you should say it, but if not, it's still kasher, and if there's a challenge, then we'll confirm the signatures. Therefore, we need our Mishnah to say it's pasul if he doesn't say it. Now, fanay nechtav chetzio, fanay nechtam kulo, pasul. So the Mishnah says that if he testifies to seeing part of it written and the whole thing signed, it's pasul. But is that really true? Remember back in the first parak we said that even if you only heard the sofer preparing his pen, or you saw one line being written lishma, it's valid. So hey chetzio, which half did he see that that's not good enough? Ilem chetzio rishon, if you think it's the beginning half, amar belazor amafilo katab al shita chad lishma shuv enot tzarich. But Rabbi Lazar said that even if you only saw one line being written lishma, that's good enough. The answer is Alamavashi Chetzio Acharon. It must be the last part, meaning that you came into the situation when the first half of the get was written, you have no idea who it was written for, and then you saw them finishing it off, that's a Fanechtav Chetzio. But if you came and said, I saw the first half being written, and then I went out for a few minutes, then I came and saw it being signed, that would certainly be valid. Okay, but Fanechtav Kulo Fanechtam Chetzio. So the second clause of the second part is that if I saw all of it written and only half of it signed, pasul. Now, Amar Rav Chista. Rav Chista says the following. And if you follow Rashi here, Rav Chista's approach seems to be that the Mishnah is stating what is somewhat a series of somewhat obvious statements, and he's adding in his own piece. He's not interpreting the Mishnah. He's saying, Vafilu shnayim midima chatimat yad sheni. Even if you have two other people come and say, we know who that signature is, meaning our fellow came and said, I saw the whole thing being written, and I saw the first guy sign it. I don't know about the second guy. And two other guys come in from outside and say, we know the signature of the second guy, then it's still pasul. My tama, why is that? Okulo b'kiyum aget, okulo b'takanat chachamim. He said either the entire piece has got to be conform within the general rule of kiyum haget, which means you have witnesses come and testify to both signatures, or else you use takanat chachamim fana nechtam, but not half and half. Now we're going to get back to the half and half in the latter part of the podcast. So Matkif La Rava, Rava challenges this, says, Mi ika midi de'ilu amar chad kasher hashta de'ika trei pasul. Where do you ever have something where if one person says it, it's valid, but if two people say it, it's invalid? All right, Ella Amarava. So Rava says, rather, what should we infer from the Mishnah? Afilu hu ve'acher mi'idim achatimat yad sheni. Even if he, the shaliach, he says, I saw the first guy sign it. And then he joins another guy to say, I know the signature of the second guy, pasul. So that's less of a chidush. Why? My tama. Because then we will end up allowing kiyum shtarot in a regular case. This is a concern that we had way back in the beginning of Masechet. A kiyum shtar in a regular case to be operated that way, where one guy is going to say, I saw the first signature, and I and another fellow confirmed the second signature. And why is that a problem? Literally, minus one quarter, meaning three quarters of the money is going to leave based on one witness's testimony. In other words, the Torah says, Al Pishnai Meidim Yakum Davar, that a monetary matter has to be fulfilled based on two or more witnesses. And the way Chazal understand it is that that means that if there are two witnesses, one witness is generating half of the payment and the other witness is generating the other half of the payment, or whatever it is the shtar demands. Now, if this fellow comes and says, B'fanai Nichtam, and then joins another fellow to testify about the second signature, then in get really that's okay. But the problem is if you did that with a regular kiyum hashtar, let's say with a halva, that would mean that theoretically three quarters of the payment is happening based on his testimony and one quarter based on the other fellow's testimony, and that isn't proper kiyum haget. It should be 50-50. Now, Matkif Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi doesn't like that either. He says, Miika mi didi'ilu masik le'ihu le'kulei dibura kosher. Think about this. Here's something where if this guy alone would say the whole thing, it would be valid. If he said, Fanai Nechtam Kulo, it would be valid. Hashadika Chad Mahadeh Pasul. Now that he's got another guy helping him with part of it, it's Pasul? Ela Am Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says the case must be like this. Afilu Omer Anihu Eid Sheni. Even if he says, I saw the first signature and I am the second aid, Pasul, it's still no good. My time, ma, o kulo b'kiyum haget, o kulo b'takanat chachamim. In other words, again, we go back to Rav Chista's argument. Either the entire thing has to follow the model of kiyum haget, a regular kiyum hashtar, where two people are testifying about a signature, or a person comes and says, that's my signature, which, as we saw in Ketubot, is perfectly valid, or that it happens with the takanat chachamim in front of Nechtam. But here he's saying, b'fanai Nechtam, the first one, and I am the second one, so it's kiyum hashtar. Alright, so now we have three explanations of what is the extension of the psul. Not only when the fellow says b'fananachtam chetzio, but the other half of the signature has some confirmation. What's the confirmation? Either two other guys come, that's Rav Chista, or else he and another guy come to confirm the signature, or he is the one who says that's my signature, the second one, that's Rav Ashi. Now, Tanan, let's look at our Mishnah. Fanechtav kulob fananechtam chetzio, our case, pasul. So, ida chetzio echidami. What's the story with the second half in the Mishnah? If you think nobody's testifying about the second half, meaning, he says, I saw the first half, I saw the whole thing written, I saw one signature, and there's no testimony about the second signature. So, hashta chanumar fanechtav, chanumar fanechtam, dahai kamasid akula ktiba, dahai kamasid akula ktima, pasul. In the next clause in the Mishnah, it says that if one guy comes and says, I saw the whole thing written, and another guy comes and says, I saw the whole thing signed, where you have full testimony about the signature, nonetheless it's pasul, then chetziomi baya, then do you have to tell me that if the only testimony we have is about half the signature, that it's no good? Fanechtav kulo, fanechtam chetzio? It can't be that the other signature is absolutely unattested. Ella Okara Rav Okara Rav Ashi. So the way that we're learning the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is teaching a chidush. And that is to say, not only where one guy says Afan Nechtam and another guy says Afan Nechtam, it's Pasul, but even when a guy says Afan Nechtam and part of the Khatima, and the other part of the Khatima is attested some other way, it is Pasul. And then we have to reach for the smaller chidush, which is that the fellow himself is somehow involved in testifying to the other signature. Either he says it's mine, like Rav Ashi, or he joins another fellow to confirm it, like Rava. But we're not going to go so far as to say if two other guys come in and confirm the signature, which is a bigger reach, to say that's pasul, like Rav Chista. Rav Chista is going to defend himself. This is what he would have said. So then why do you need the first clause in the Mishnah? To tell me that if a guy can only come and say, I saw it written but not signed at all, or I saw it signed and not written at all, that's pasul? That's a no-brainer. After all, if you say one guy's saying Fanei Nechtav and another guy's saying Fanei Nechtav, it's no good. Certainly, if all you have is one guy coming and saying Fanei Nechtav and no Chatima, then certainly it's going to be no good. Ella lozu avzuktani. You have to read the Mishnah differently. Rav Chitza says methodologically. You have to look at the Mishnah as not teaching these chidushim. The Mishnah is stating the obvious, and it's saying lozu avzu. He said not only if the one guy who comes didn't see the signature at all, but even if he saw half the signature, and even if he saw the writing and another guy saw the entire signature, and even if two guys, etc. And so we build up to say a bigger chidush about the psul, but there's nothing buried in the Mishnah. And therefore, Rav Chisda says, my comment about even if two other guys come is not what the Mishnah is teaching. I'm just saying a separate halakha. And therefore, Rava and Ravashi's take on it is no stronger than mine. Now, Chanami lo zu avzuktani. Okay, now we have a tangent, and from here to the end of today's podcast is a tangential discussion building off the idea of joining two pieces which independently are not significant, which together combine to make a significant mass, but generally have to be done by one. So, in our case, generally one person has to come and say Fanei Nechtav, Fanei Nechtav. Here we have a case where one guy says Fanei Nechtav and another guy says Fanei Nechtav. Or to the cases we just saw, one guy says Fanei Nechtav and Fanei Nechtav half, and there's some other substantiation for the other Chatima. Is that good or is that not good? Is that sufficient? So we'll see that in other cases. Amar Rav Chisda, Gidur Chamisha Umchitza Chamisha. Now remember, for many halachot, specifically in Shabbat and in Sukkah, we need to have a mechitza, which is 10 tefachim high. It can be 10 tefachim deep for Shabbat, which means if you have a ditch running around your property that's 10 tefachim deep, that's a mechitza, or a wall 10 tefachim high. What if you have a ditch that's 5 deep, and built right next to it is a wall that's 5 high? So together you have 10. Question is, does the wall of 5 and the ditch of 5 join to make 10 or not? Rav Chisda says, Gidud chamisha, mechitza chamisha, ein mitztarfin. They don't join together, which means either it has to be a wall of 10 or more, or a ditch of 10 or deeper. Achiye okulo mechitza, okulo gidud. You need the entire shear, either up or down, which fits with Rav Chisda's approach in interpreting our Mishnah, that says either you need to have the whole thing with takanat chachamim, or the whole thing following kiyum haget. Now, Darsh Mareimar taught the opposite. Gidud chamisha mechitza chamisha mitztarfin. He says that they indeed do join, and a ditch of 5 and a wall of 5 together make 10. Vehilchata, the Gemara then comments, mitztarfin. The halacha is, like Mareimar, that they do count together. Now, by Ilfa then asked a question which will take us to the end of our piece today. Yadayim tarot lachatzein o ein tarot lachatzein. What about washing hands? Can that be done in halves? Now, what's the question? Hechidami, ilay medekamashu beitrei merevit. Is your concern that two people wash together from one revit of water? And that's what you mean about halves? So, v'hatanan, we have a Mishnah that says, merevit no limne adayim, l'chadu afilu shtayim. You can use a revit even for two people. That's where Biosi disagrees, but you put your, one puts his hands, the other puts his hands directly underneath it, and you pour over both sets of hands, and it's tahor. So that is not a question, because we know that works. You must wash one hand at a time. That must be Ilfa's question. What if you wash one hand, and a little later you wash the other hand? Does that work? We have a Mishnah that says, even if you washed one hand, and the other hand you put in a river. You know, you can do Ntilat Yadayim by putting your hands in a river. It's Makol Kiposkim, what the bracha is, Ntilat Yadayim or Tfilat Yadayim, but you can put your hands into a river as long as the river has more than 40 sa'ah, which without it, it's kind of hard to call it a river, then, so the Mishnah says, if you put one hand, you wash, and the other one you put into the river, it's good. So certainly if you wash them independently, it's good. You have Dav Torot. V'adakamashi palga palga diaday. Must be talking about a case where you washed half of your hand, and then the other half of your hand. Whatever the shear is, whether the riff up until the wrist, or whether the other is showing him up until the third knuckle, the second knuckle, whatever the shear may be, you washed half of it, and then you washed the other half of it. Well, the Amar Rebbe Rabbi Yanai, they taught Yadai Main Torah Lachatzain. We have a clear instruction, which is you cannot wash half a hand at a time. So what's Ilfa's question? So Lotzricha Deika Mashka Tofeach. We're talking about a case where the water's dripping. You know, that you pour it on one half of the hand, and water drips to the other half of the hand. Is that good? V'chiika Mashka Tofeach Mayhave. Who cares if it's dripping from one to the other? About none. We have that famous Mishnah, HaNitzok V'Katafresu Mashka Tofeach Eino Chibur. Lo L'Tumah V'Lo L'Tahara. Nitzok, which we dealt with in one of the early Masechtot in Nazir, is the situation where, and this is a famous machloket with the Sadducees, where if you have a pure kli and you pour from it in down, I pour some liquid and it goes into a kli which is tameh, is that go back and be metameh the kli above? The Sadducees said it did. We say it don't. We say that it does not metameh the kli above, except in certain very thick liquids which shoot back, like the dvash. That was what we mentioned in Sota, like the very thick kind of honey, etc. Now nitzok, that's what nitzok is. Akata phrase is a slope. So if you pour something down a slope, it doesn't connect the bottom to the top. Umashket ofeach, and dripping water, enochibur, does not connect lo the tumah velo the tahara. So it doesn't connect the two parts for tumah. It also does not metaher, meaning if you have to put something in a mikvah, so you put something in a mikvah and then the water drips onto the other part that's not the mikvah, that doesn't help either. So dripping water does not connect them. So if you pour water onto half your hand and then the water drips onto the other half of the hand, is that good enough? The answer is no. So lo tzricha deika tofeach latfiach. Oh, but if there's a lot of water, so that when you drip it, when you pour it onto one part, it drips sufficiently onto the other part that it would even drip further. Tofeach latfiach means it's wet enough that it would cause dripping further. Then maybe we would say that would be good. So if you washed onto one part of your hand, and there was so much water that it dripped onto the other part of the hand enough to then drip, let's say, past the wrist or whatever it may be, then we would ask the question whether you could do that in halves. So hanami tanina, that we also learn tofech latfiach chibur. If you have that much water, then the two parts really are connected. So the answer is dilma le'inyan mikvaot. Maybe that teaching about tofech latfiach was only about mikvaot for Rabbi Yehuda. Following the teaching of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah in mikvaot perek zayin, did not mikveh sheyesh po arba'im sa'ah mechuvanot. If you have a mikveh that is exactly 40 sa'ah, v'yardu shnayim v'tavlun, two guys went in to go into the mikveh. Now, parenthetically, if they both went in together, then they're tahor, fine. But if one goes in after the other, rishon tahor v'sheni tameh. The first one's tahor because he went into 40 sa'ah. When he goes out, inevitably he takes some water with him. We have now less than 40 sa'ah. The second guy is still tameh. Rabbi Yehuda says that even if the first guy still had only his foot in the water, then afashini tahor. Why? Because the first guy, whatever water he's carrying, all connects into the mikvah because his foot's still in the mikvah. So tofeach latfiach is chibur. So what the Gemara's comment is that perhaps Ilfu was only asking the question about etzidat yadayim, because as far as mikvah goes, he knows that Rabbi Yehuda says tofeach latfiach, if there's enough water to generate more water going further, it's that wet, then the two things are connected, but perhaps that's only for mikvah and not for netilat yadayim. And so that's what he was asking about. Good. Now, two sort of miscellany questions associated with the issue of tseruf, of joining two halves of a shear together. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Hare Amru, Haba Rosh Over Rubo Maim Sheuvin, V'tahorshna Flu Al Rosh Over Rubo Al Rubo Maim Shlosh Elugan Maim Sheuvin, Tameh. We have the Gezerad Rabbanan at the beginning of Masachet Shabbat, that if somebody puts most of his body into drawn water, or somebody who's Tahor, that has three lugin of water fall on him, he's Tameh. So Bar of Yirmiya, Chetzioba Viyav, Chetzioba Nefila Mai. What happens if half his body had this water thrown on, and the other half he went into? So the question is again, is it Seiruf? Is he now Tamei Durabanan? Or do we say no? Half his body had one thing, half had the other thing, and the two don't connect. The answer is Teiku, we don't know. And the problem here, of course, is that the Gezerah Durabanan, did the Rabbanan raise it to the point where any sort of combination thereof will generate tumor, only if you really do the full thing of going into the water. The reason for that is mentioned in the second half of the first parak of Masachet Shabbat. Amar Papa, Hare Amru Balkeri Cholesh Na'u Alav Tisha Kabin Mayim. This is mentioned in Masachet Brachot, that if a Balkeri, who in the days when a Balkeri had to go to the mikvah before engaging in tefillah, etc., but if a Balkeri was sick, somebody had an emission, was sick, they were lenient with him, and they said that he could basically take a shower. Nine kabin of water falls on his head, he's tahor. So bar papa, chetziobit filav, chetziobit intina. What if he went into the mikvah, but it was cold, so he went in up until his waist. And then he threw nine kabin of water over the top part of his torso. Question is, my, is he now tahor? Do we now allow, because after going to the mikvah would certainly make him tahor, but he only went into those waist, and then he threw got out of the mikvah, and then he threw 9 kabin of water over the top part of his body. Do we connect the two and say he's tahor or not? The answer is teiku, that we do not have a solution to that either. Okay, we'll pick up at this point, Mirtz Hashem, in the next podcast, further analyzing the Mishnah about segmented testimony about the get. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.